right, let's get started on tonight with training school and get some understanding. All right, let's pray. Father, I will come to you and glorify you for just the wonderful Yah and Almighty that you are. We need your help in that the days are fast approaching because of the things, you know, you've been having us to deal with. Days are fast approaching that we are to experience these things that that you've written in your word, and we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. There are some things that's going on that I think you should be you're aware, most likely are aware of, but then at the same time I just want to remind you of some things and just kind of keep us focused for us to understand that when we see these things take place, we ought to be encouraged from this perspective that we have, we have information and, things that we understand that just put us in a position where we know that God is doing, he's doing these things, he's ordained these things to take place, and from that standpoint, we can be encouraged from it. Okay, as you know, that this girl. As you know, there's some things that's happening, here recently, as far as I think the bombing in, what is it, Brussels or something like that. Well. There are things that I've been looking at because I don't watch television. I very seldom watch television, but then I do a lot of watching things on the internet. And when I do watch news, it's pretty much world news, so to speak. In other words, I watch news that's outside of this country a lot of time because. More detailed information from other countries about our country than you can what's going on as far as our own country is concerned, and even as far as the world is concerned, because it's just certain things are not being reported or discussed. That if they were, it would cause people to be more alert, and then I'm going to say more alarmed, more so alarmed than alert. When I say alert, I'm talking about from our perspective. We're alert, but we would be more alert concerning the end time prophecies that the Bible reveals. And then people, Christians, whatever you want to call it, people would be more alarmed in knowing that a lot of these things are happening. I mean, they're happening in the world, and it's to the point to where you're seeing a lot of things. You're seeing a lot of things happening that's fulfilling Bible prophecy. Okay, now I said all that to say this. The attack that happened in Brussels, I think I'm saying the name correctly, and I don't I'm not going to necessarily get caught up into who did it and all that because I don't know. But at the same time, I'm always, you know, always kind of look at things sideways when I see our media report and stuff. You know, when they're focusing on something, and this is why I'm saying that, so I'll fix it. You know, what I've learned about the media is that when they focus on something, you know, it's more so to, you know, to get our focus off of what we need to be really looking at. And so, go ahead. No, go ahead.
They focus on it because it's something that they want you to focus on.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff going on all the time that they don't want you to focus on and they don't cover.
Right. And that's y'all heard it. I mean, and that's very true. And so, we have to learn what we are a part of. We have to learn it. We have to understand. I'll say it that way. You have to understand what we are a part of. And all of us have been fed a dream in this country, and this dream has fueled mankind because everybody looks at this country as the model for the way of life, the standard of living, however you want to put it. Everybody wants to be here, so to speak. You know, there are things going on that, that causes people to really focus on here, our country, and things like that. But you need to understand what's going on. We've been fed something that is a dream, but it's not going to ever come true. Go ahead, son. I mean, you know, just talk, man.
So I wanted to share. So it's an analogy that I use, and I've used it a couple of times with other people. But when I used it this last time, y'all showed me something. So the analogy I use is kind of like what I said is, in a nutshell, you can't trust your eyes. And so I say the standard for what goes on in this world is people – judge things by what they see and what they hear or what they feel kind of deal. So the analogy I used one time or more than once was, it's kind of like this. Your eyes can lie to you. So if, let's say I'm walking out a door, but before I walk out a door, it's two people outside and they say, we're going to play a trick on the next person that walk out the door. You're going to run, and I'm going to have a, I got this fake gun, and I'm going to shoot you, and you got a blood pack, and so we're going to pretend like I just killed you. And so I walk out the door, but I don't know that whole conversation went down. All I see is somebody take off running and screaming. I see somebody shoot, and that person go down with blood. And so to me, I think I see somebody just got murdered. And they don't move. So my mind tells me I just saw somebody that got murdered. Now, I leave or I call the police or whatever I do, I go out the scene, they get up and they go. But what I just witnessed, I thought was a murder. Well, they just played a game. And so that's one reason why you can't trust your eyes, because what you see may not be all of the detail. Now, with all of that said, the last time I told that story, what y'all showed me was, is the same thing happens, but on a much larger scale with these governments and all these things. They come together and they plot, and they do these things, and their mindset is to play a trick on the people. And so they'll concoct all of this stuff they want to do, and they'll have plans of what they're trying to accomplish, and the part that they want to show you, so that to get you to think a certain way, they'll cover all those parts because they want your mind to think a certain way. But all the time, it's a trick to make you think something is going on and it's really not. Or they have conspired to make it appear that way, but the reality is something far different from what they're showing. And so those are the kinds of people that we we live amongst, shall I say, or the system that's in control, they'll orchestrate all this grand stuff, and they'll kill people if need be to get people's mind to go in a certain direction if it means they can accomplish whatever their goal is.
So that's a sense of control. They just want to have some type of control over.
Well, it's power in people, and they find that it's easier to convince you with whatever story they can convince you to side with them than to try to just kill everybody. So if I can concoct this story and kill a few people to make the masses of people be okay with what I'm about to do, then I'll do that.
It's like what I've always said concerning the circumstance in New Orleans. I wrote about it, but I approached it from a perspective of saying if I ruled the world from a wicked point of view. And what I said was this. I said now what I would do is I would, exactly what Alan said, I said I would use a group of people and bring about destruction to them so that I could bring about the overall betterment of what I consider to be for everybody else. And I was talking about it from the perspective of the oil spill that happened, that was in the Gulf or around New Orleans. I was talking about from that perspective. I was saying now, in order for me to appease a few for the betterment of what I consider to be the world, I will poison the waterways. I would allow an oil spill to happen, and I would give people money that looked like it was really beneficial to them, even from a perspective of Katrina. And then I would give them money, relocate them, and give them the impression that things were really, you know, this really worked out for the better of me, and it gave me a better life. But the people didn't realize that it was millions of dollars under their feet because things were going on to bring about a bigger picture. And so I'll give you thousands, but yet you if you realize there was oil under your feet, you know, you wouldn't have been so easy to uproot and leave. And so I was just approaching things from that standpoint to let people know how a system thinks, so I'm talking from the language that we understand. And sorry if you need to interrupt me, go ahead, feel free. That a one world order doesn't mind taking out a few thousand to control millions.
Right.
You have to understand that. And so what I mean by this world that we see, you have to understand that when the media show you things, they are showing you these things because they're trying to keep you from seeing the real thing. It's like what Alan said. They showing you the man that shot and laid there, he's looking dead, and now you traumatized because you think, oh man, they're just killing people. In reality, it's staged, and when all the cameras start rolling, the man just got up, or you know, they don't show you in a nutshell the things that's really necessary.
Yeah, they may show you the killing, but they don't show you where they was planning all that to happen and where they had the plans and what they was going to do after all this went down. And y'all said, okay, give us some funding so we can take care of this. They don't show all them parts. They just focus on the part that they want you to see so you get all emotional so you aside with what they want you to do.
Right. I'll give you an example of this, another example of this. Dick Gregory made a statement. He was talking about Malcolm X right before Malcolm X got killed. He said he talked to him that day. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. I'm just telling you what he said. He said he talked to Malcolm X that day, and he told him, he said, Malcolm wanted him to come to that event where he ended up getting killed, and he was like, are you coming? And Dick Gregory told him, said, man, you know I love you. He said, but I'm not coming. He said, and the reason why is because, man, they're going to kill you today. Dick Gregory said, he told him, they're going to kill you today. He said, and I'm not going to position myself where they can, you know, get two for one, so to speak. And so he said, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay here until I get word that you dead. He said, because they after you, man. They're going to get you today. But he said, but, you know, after that, after it all happened, there are certain documentations that you can legally go about getting to understand a little bit more detail of things. There's certain information they have to make available. You just have to understand the challenge to go through. What he did, he said, what he discovered is that the autopsy of Malcolm X showed that he was shot downward, that whoever shot him was in the signal. But yet it shows in the videos and things like that he was shot by men who was in the audience that was on the floor. And he said in a nutshell, the men who was in the audience with the shotguns, he said they didn't know that the system had given them blanks. And actually the real shooters was shooting from the roof. And it had showed that it was rented out by certain authorities. That place where he was killed was rented out by certain authorities a week before that happened. He said all this is documented information. But it's just that when it's a certain perspective that they want you to see things, then they will show you what they want you to see in order to, again, instead of enough, distract you from really what's going on. So you have to understand this about your media, and you have to understand that what you see is meant for you to see. And the things that Yah show you is the truth of what's really going on. It's the reality of really what's going on. And so, you know, we'll come across as weird because there are things that Yah is showing us that is the truth. But because people are being shown other things and religion is teaching them things and they have a set guideline of what's intended for you to understand from a perspective of Christianity, that when you get outside that box, people have a hard time dealing with these things. And so you're running to people that you tell things, they have a hard time dealing with it. People have a hard time dealing with the fact that what they watch in the news is something for them to focus on to keep them away from what's really going on. They get you to focus on these things to keep you from realizing that we're in World War III right now. They don't report on this. They don't report. But I'm getting this material because I look at news and information that's from other countries. They won't tell you that Europe now is practically almost overrun by Muslims who are coming into these nations and they're, you know, they're taking over some things and they're doing some stuff and it's happening here in the United States, but the media won't report it. Because there's a certain agenda that's being done, and so they won't report these things that actually happening. Now, I don't agree with what I've seen some Christians do with the incident that happened in Detroit. I don't know when it actually happened. There was an incident that happened in Detroit whereby, you know, some Christians were basically attacked by some Muslims because they were at an event that the Muslim was having standing out there with, you know, I love you Jesus signs and all this. Him, the Muslim beat the heck out of them. News didn't come out there and report it. They had the video. I'm watching the video, and these people trying to get this information to the media, but the media is getting all this information, but they won't report it. Because there is an agenda that's going on, and this thing is coming to a head, and in order for you to establish worldwide martial law, you got to have chaos. And when you open the floodgate and let people come that they're calling refugees, let them come from all countries that all they know is war, what you think they're going to do when they get over your land and then they realize they don't have nothing but some tents to live in? These things are going down even in our country. And I'm talking about Britain is crazy with this stuff that's going on. Even though it's been happening in Russia. I mean, it's crazy. These events that's going on, but they refuse to report on it because it doesn't fit an agenda that they're pushing. But we know. We know these things are going on, and that's why we're covering them. So, you have anything else about? So, I want to start out in Isaiah chapter 46, and we know obviously this is dealing with some things as far as our nation is concerned, but there are two verses in particular that I want to look at. But I start at verse 1, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in these other verses unless y'all need me to do so, because I want to concentrate again on these few verses here. As Isaiah 46 verse 1 says, Baal bows down, Nebo stupid. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. You know, he's talking about these idols and different things because our nation had gotten caught up into idolatry. We had taken on the ways of the heathen. It amazes me how many people will see, you know, little shapes in the clouds, and they'll start saying, "Woo, thank you, Jesus." You know, look at the cloud. You see that man standing in the cloud, Jesus looking down on him. Time out Bible worshiping. Don't look at the stars. And one Israelite brother put a video of that stuff on, and I was like, okay, bro, look. The scripture says he's coming in the cloud. It didn't say he was going to be a cloud. I'm like, come on, learn not the way of the heathen. You know, that worship the stars and the moon and the sun and the clouds and all these kind of things. There's so much idolatry that's going on that you got people who look for any kind of sign to try to determine it's Yah, you know. And so there are a lot of pictures that's going on where you're seeing clouds, strange-looking clouds and different things like that, and they are strange, but you got people that are saying, oh, they're the chariots of God, you know, all these different things. They clouds, that's all I know, and I'm not trying to figure it out. I know it's some clouds I've never seen before, and it's some weird stuff, and, you know, it may have more so to do, something to do with the heart than it is y'all, but at the same time, y'all allowing some things to take place. So when you look at verse 1, this is what this dealing with is idolatry. Verse 1 talks about the owls. Verse 2 said they stooped. They bowed down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. You know, our nation always went into captivity from idolatry, and that's what's wrong with us today. Verse 3 says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will ye be like? To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yeah, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and sit him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yeah, one shall crown him. Yet can he not answer, no, save him out of his trouble. And I mean, even when you look at that to show you how silly idolatry is, when you get people who worship anything other than the one true Yah, Yah is describing through Isaiah how people decorate these idols. They set all these things up, they build groves, they build monuments, they build things in their houses, you know, in their houses. They make all these shrines, whatever you want to call them, all these things, and they worship their God. It's their idol. It's their idol. It's idolatry. And God said, you speak to these things, you even made it. You took a goldsmith, you decorated, you built it up yourself, and you're falling down on your knees, and you're worshiping it. And you're saying things to it, and it can't even answer you back. That just shows how crazy idolatry is, but at the same time, this is what our nation did. We were brought out of Egypt by the mighty hand of Yah. He spoke to us face to face. He spoke to our nation. We feared him to the point where we were like, Moses, you just be a go-between. But yet all of us as a nation of Israel at that time, encountered Yah. But yet we still wanted to bow down and worship something that we created. That's the mindset of mankind. We're ignorant. We're so ignorant as mankind to the point where we'll build something and fall down and say, he's be our God. How crazy is that? Okay, and then he says, again, verse 7, he says, they bear him up on the shoulders. They carry him and sit him in his place. All these shrines that's built, everything that you see as idolatry, the cross, you look at the cross, you look at all these different things, all these things have to be carried, and they use it as symbols of their God. They build them up. They have to prop them up. They have to stand them up. They have to carry them around. They have to, you know, they have to put them in their pocket. All these different things, you know, they have to do it from a perspective of their own actions. But that's the source that they turn to and bow down and say, this is my God. This is my God. That's what he's saying. Verse 7, they bear him up. They bear him up on the shoulder. They carry him and sit him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Ain't going nowhere. Yeah, one shall cry unto him. Yeah, can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? People cry to these things, and they worship these things, but yeah, it's just a piece of whatever. Can I get him out of his trouble? That's what our nation was doing. Verse 8, he says, remember this. And show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. He said, remember the former thing. This is verse that I want to get to now. He said, remember the former things of old. For I am Yah, and there is none else. I am Yah, and there is none like me. Here's why there's none like him. Every God, every religion, everything that people worship on this planet cannot do this. Next verse. Yah said, this is how you know that I am supreme, that I am the most high, Yah, above any God. This is how you know. Verse 10, that I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, we can read the rest of it, but I want to concentrate on verse 10. Because verse 10 is the key that lets us know that we serve the one true Yah. We're able to go look at names. We've been doing it in Sabbath worship and also in Sunday worship. By the way, our last Sunday worship is this Sunday. It's the last one. We'll be doing Sabbath now, and I'll remind you again. And we'll be doing Sabbath, but there are some other things that we may do occasionally on Sunday, but you know, Sabbath is when we'll be doing our service. We won't be doing Sunday services, okay? And so, verse 10, here's what makes Yah awesome. And while we're dealing with the things that we're dealing with, Yah is so awesome. And I explained it to an individual from this standpoint. I said, Yah is so awesome that this is what he does. I said, we as mankind, we will take history. And we'll lay out all the facts because it has happened. So all the names that we put in place was mankind going back, looking at history and knowing the names and all these different things and putting those names, you know, in place to establish it as far as our history books are concerned. You know, know, he dealt with Seleucus and Antiochus and different things like that, Berenice and Cleopatra and Laodice. We dealt with all these different Ptolemy. We dealt with all these individuals and the one, twos, and threes, and fours. We dealt with all of them. But we dealt with all of them from a perspective of man has dealt with all of them from a perspective of history that has already happened. But what makes Yah so awesome is he put it in the scripture and hid it. He hid it. He sealed it up so that mankind, and I'm going to say it this way, but don't take it literally what I'm about to say. He sealed it so that mankind couldn't fool with it. Now, mankind can't fool with it, no how. But I just want to say it from that perspective. He sealed it so that mankind can come around and confirm everything that he said. Now, we went and we have gone back, looked at Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 8. I think we'll be dealing with Daniel 9 coming up. We dealt with Daniel 11, and we're going to come back in Sabbath and come all the way back and up and deal with all of them. But we've dealt with all these things from a historical standpoint. We've just taken the names and put them in the scriptures, and then from putting the names in the scripture, it's going to allow us to see some things that is not even history yet. Future. Why are we able to do this? Because Yah is saying to us, and he declared things to our prophet Isaiah, in dealing with our nation. He says in verse 9 again, remember the former things of old, for I am Yah. There is none else. I am Yah, and there is none like me. Here is why. I can tell a whole story from beginning to the end without anything ever happening. I can declare the whole story. I can tell you from the beginning to the end, and there is nothing anybody can do about it but line up to it. Lord, I can show you things about your life, and you may like it or you may not like it. You may love it or you may hate it. I can show you things about your life, and you will decree to me that it's not going to be that way, but I am Yah, and there is none else like me, and it's going to be exactly the way that I said it was going to be. You remember, boy, you said that you was going to be a professional football player, but I ordained you to do what you're doing now, and when you realized what I ordained you to be, you decreed to me that you was going to change history. You decreed to me that you was going to change your future. Because you were privy to the future, you thought that you was wise and slick enough and had control of your life enough to the point to where you could change the future by which I had ordained you to be. But I told it to you and made you line up with it. And you fought me at times to keep it from happening, but I just allowed circumstances to happen to get you right back on course because I determined the end from the beginning, and ain't nothing you can do to alter it. So I'm going to say this, and you understand it from the same perspective of what I'm about to say. When I say it about me, you have to hear it about you. You have to understand it about you. So everything about your life has to be understood from the perspective of what I'm about to say to you. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And you don't have to answer it, but I want you to answer it. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to answer it to yourself. Has Yah ever said some things to you about your future? Has there ever been anything that he's placed in your heart and has spoken some things to you that you know, concerning your future and you know, whatever it may be, things that you feel in your heart that this is what you really believe that he wants to manifest in your life or whatever, things on that order. Do anybody feel that, yeah, I can say just what you said, Pastor, that, yeah, there are some things that Yah has spoken to me specifically, and it may have yet to come to pass, or it may have already happened, whatever, but, you know, all of you can attest to it. Now, I said all that to say this. What I'm going to do, can nobody take my place. I used to have this mindset that y'all can replace what I was born to do and let somebody else do it. That's religious doctrine. Because when you understand this verse, you will realize that you will realize that what you are ordained to do is determined. Y'all are talking this while I'm acting the way I am. You can understand that what you have been ordained to do has been determined before everything ever came into existence. What I was born to do, I have to do. Because Yah has determined it from, like the scripture says, I'm going to read it, declined the end from the beginning. Yah looked at me from the very beginning, and my end was already determined. Can't nobody move that out of the way. Whatever he's said, whatever he said to you, wherever he's positioned you, whatever he's decreed for you to be, it has been determined. It has been determined, although you may be in the beginning stages of it, it has been determined the end from the beginning. Your finish has already been determined, and you may be just in the beginning stages of it. What he has for you is specifically for you. Why? Because he's already decreed it. You know, and the best way to get you to understand is, it is like looking in the scripture, knowing that he has chosen us as the nation of Israel to carry out his will, and then having the mindset that, you know what, that's not going to happen now. He said it. He said that he was going to gather us. He said that he was going to put us back in the land. He said that he was going to take fear away from us, and we don't have to be afraid as a nation. He said that he determined all of this from the beginning. What I mean by from the beginning, we hadn't experienced it yet, so we're still in the beginning stages of it. But yet, it is something that is going to happen. It is something that is going to happen, and he determined the beginning. The end from the beginning. So because that has been decreed and determined, that's not going to change. So even though you have a people who are pretending to be us, that's not going to change. And that's the mindset of men. Men think that just because they make a determination that something is going to be a specific way, that's exactly the way this is going to happen. But Yah has determined the end from the beginning. Yah ordained us to be his chosen people. That's who exactly we're going to be. That's who exactly we are. That's who exactly we're going to be in the future. And nobody's going to be able to replace that. That's the issue that the church has. The church thinks that they can replace Israel. And Yah said, what foolishness. I've already determined the end from the beginning. I've already decreed. You know church before you was ever, I'm going to say it this way, you know church, you know Christians before you were ever invented. I had already decreed Israel was going to be back in that land someday, and they were going to be my people who I was going to heal from all their iniquity, and I was going to reestablish them as a nation of people. You know I determined that before Christianity even came on the scene. You know I decreed that Nebuchadnezzar was going to deal with the nation of Israel. You know I decreed that Alexander the Great was going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, or at least Babylon. You know I decreed all these different things to take place. And it got to happen exactly the way that I said it is going to happen. And when we get that kind of confidence in Yah, then we'll be put in a position whereas we'll know it doesn't matter what it looks like, Yah's word is yes and is amen. Because he is the Most High Yah, and there is none like him to the point to where he can declare the end of everything. He can declare the end of everything from the beginning. So I can go to Daniel and look at what the future is going to be like and know it's going to be exactly the way y'all said it's going to be, regardless of what mankind is doing. I know there has to be a remnant who's going to be saved. I know that we have understandings of things for a specific reason. I know that you are who you are for a specific reason. And that's what y'all are saying to us. No matter what happens, you have to understand that I have given you the ability to unseal the truth, and you have to accept the truth that is already unsealed and revealed, because I've already declared the end from the beginning. I know how the story ends, and I'm revealing it unto you, and I don't care what it looks like. You got to stand your ground and know that it's going to be exactly the way I said it. I'm declaring the end, verse 10. I'm declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Through the lessons we're dealing with, we're getting a glimpse into our future. We're getting a look at it. And so that's why when we see these things take place, we know, okay, these are things, you have to know everything that's going on, these are things that's put in place to bring about what we understand. They're all designed to bring about what we understand. It has to get chaotic in order for this system to come to get to the point to where it's one. So we don't be discouraged from the things that's going on. We'll be encouraged by the things that's going on because we know how the story ends. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Y'all saying, and I want to look at the word counsel from the Hebrew perspective. When you look at counsel, it means Ista. Okay, it means advice, my plan, okay, my purpose. God is saying whatever I have decreed is going to stand. Whatever y'all have decreed, I don't care how it looks, it is going to stand. You know, I sent Alan a picture here recently, here within the past, you know, day or so, somebody's gone up to the building and sprayed this big old graffiti on the wall and stuff like that. Because one of the things, you know, as far as how this works, you know, I always look to y'all. So when the lady sent me the information, lady that keeps out on the building, when she sent me the pictures, like, okay, this is what's on the building. You know, first thing I do is look to y'all. Okay, y'all, you allow this to take place. You allow this to take place, you know, and some got to deal with the inconvenience of now trying to cover this up with some paint and things like that, you know, some kind of something to cover this up. But at the same time, you allow it to happen. You allow it to happen. It happened as part of the plan, it's part of the purpose. That's how I look at things. Whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. So as part of the purpose, that too is happening for a reason. That's happening for a reason. And whatever that reason is, y'all, you decreed it, and everybody just had to line up with it, and somebody had to paint that on there. This is how I look at things. Because I know I know the end results. I know, I understand the end result. It don't matter what it looks like in between, I know what y'all is saying. He's determining it. His counsel shall stay. Yeah, and so it's like sometimes y'all will check us, and he's like, okay, my counsel is what's going to be accomplished. My counsel is what's going to continue. My purpose is what's going to continue. So it don't matter what happens between the process or in the process. It don't matter how it looks like in the process. It don't matter what they do. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter what direction they're going in right now. Yah's purpose is going to stay. They can spray paint the whole building. Yah's purpose is still going to stay. Whatever he wants out of that place is going to stay. And all we can do now is continue to keep our focus and continue to put our trust in him. Because, you know, sometimes he'll allow things to happen like that just to put us in check. What I mean by to put us in check, to put us in check as far as say, are you still going to stay committed, or are you going to get discouraged now and start saying, man, we'll see, now they're right on the building, man, so you're probably going to write on the whole building. Well, they've done it before when we went up there and sprayed it and covered it up. Oh, they're going to do it. We're going to have to do something to it anyhow, so we'll go up there and spray and cover that little part up to let them know, okay, it don't matter what you do, it don't change nothing. We still focus on what y'all follow up to do. His counsel is what is going to continue or succeed. What Yah has said to each one of us is what is going to succeed. Everything has purpose associated with it. So whatever we're experiencing, all of us may have experienced something today, whatever it may be, it's vitally important for you to understand. All that has purpose associated with it. It is bringing us to the perfect plan of Yah, and it's something that Yah has decreed to take place, and all our responsibility is to know and to put our trust in Yah, and no matter what, his purpose is going to stand. He's going to do exactly what he said. So when you start seeing these false flags, whatever you want to call it, what's going on in the media, these events that's going on in the world, we have to understand that regardless of what it's looking like, Yah has already decreed the end. I don't know how we can, I'm just saying this, you know, right now, but I understand how. I'm just saying this just for the sake of conversation. I don't know how we're going to get back to that land, but I know we're going. Why? Because Yah said it. He decreed the end from the beginning. He said we're going home as a nation of people, and I don't care what arm is moving that land, what allied forces moving that land. I don't care what plans mankind have to stop that from taking place. All I know is we are going back to our homeland. Why? Because Yah has said it. He has declared the end from the beginning. And his counsel, his purpose is what is going to continue. It is what is going to succeed. So what is he saying to you? What he said to you may not look nowhere close to what the results that he is saying. He's spoken some things to your heart. It may not look nothing like what he said to you. Got some things y'all have spoken to me right now. It don't look nothing like what he said. Nowhere close. But yet, he spoke it. It's going to stand. And it will accommodate our experience. Everything that he said to me in his word. Every word he's given to me. Can nobody else do it? Can nobody replace you? Because what he's decreed for you to do has been spoken from the very beginning. That's why he told Jeremiah, he said before I formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you was even conceived, Jeremiah, I ordained you to be who you are, and can't nobody take your place. I ordained you to be a prophet to Israel, and that's exactly who you are. Moses was exactly who he was, and nobody could take his place. Even to the point to where Moses fled on the backside of the mountain, and it didn't make any difference because Yah, when he was ready for him, went right on the backside of that mountain and brought him right back to the forefront. What he has for you to do, that's what you want to do.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Just thinking about what you're saying, there are some things that I felt like the Lord has spoken over my life, some things that he said he would do. What was in my heart, he said that he would bless me to accomplish that, but over time, it's like, I couldn't get so caught up in whatever that was in case he changed or in case my interpretation of what I thought he said changed. A lot of times I found that he changed what was in my heart because maybe what was in there wasn't, his full purpose. So based on what, my thoughts, and I guess I'm just saying what I perceive that was in my heart for me to do for him, that's changed over time, and it's still the same. Whatever it is that's in my heart, I believe he's going to do it, but I just have to prepare myself and not be so stone, not be flexible enough to change when he changes.
Right. See, matter of fact, I wrote about this not too long. I'm trying to remember the title of it that it was. But in a nutshell, what I was saying is that I'm trying to find it. In a nutshell, what I was saying that in other words, let me just look at the title of it. I write so much stuff sometimes. It was titled Life's Journey Lead to Purpose. And so what is vitally important for you to understand, there may be certain things, a certain state of mind that you may have had that has been altered or whatever, for whatever reason. But at the same time, that's just a journey to lead you to that purpose. And a lot of times, there are certain things that he's given me to do, that he's given me to do, and I'll put it this way, there were plans that he had given me to do to get me focused on a specific thing to further guide me to that purpose. And so there are some things that I've done in the past that he led me to do. That was part of the journey. But he led me to do those things because it was necessary to get me to the state of mind that I am now for that that true purpose that he had for me. And so so there may be certain things that all of us may have, desired to do or whatever, but at the same time, those things may not necessarily or those things may not have been for the purpose that Yah has for us. They may have been things to get us focused on the next stage to get us to that purpose. And so I've experienced that a lot in life where there were certain things that he had me to focus on. And I'll use this for an example. There were a lot of buildings that I had looked at. That is a good example. I looked at a lot of buildings. I mean, people been with me a long time, they'll tell you. I looked at a whole lot of buildings. But it took that journey to bring me to the purpose of getting the ones that we have now. If I had not taken on the mentality and allowed him to lead me, had not allowed him to lead me to at least get curious about buildings and start going after everyone that I saw, I used to go after everyone that I saw vacant. I had to call about it, go in and look at it, and when I went in and looked at it, I was like, this is the place. This got to be the place. And yet, Yah was doing that to prepare me, again, to get the places that we have now. But at the same time, at the time, I was like, well, he led me to this place. This is the place that he wants for us, because I knew he was leading me to go and get a place for us to be able to carry out his vision. But at the same time, Yah was using those other places as a training mechanism to get me used to dealing with these business people behind their facilities, So when the time was right, I had dealt with enough people to the point where I could sit down, put the plan together, present it, and get what he had really blessed us with.
That's really what the kind of thing I'm talking about. So were you disappointed when, you know, you thought that was it? And, well, I understand you saying it was a journey to where you are now, but before you knew where now is, was it a disappointment when the thing that you thought was it wasn't it?
Well, when you look at it, when you look at it from my mindset back then, yeah, that was disappointment. There were disappointments from that perspective. But now when I look at things to understand that, you know, gotten to understand that everything works for my benefit, it doesn't disappoint me for those things to happen. I just say, okay, y'all, that's what you allowed to happen. It's for my purpose, and I'm okay with it. But when I was growing and coming into an understanding of how y'all would do things to lead me to my purpose, yeah, it would be disappointing at times to be believing him for that particular building and had dealt with the people and had seen the people even be willing to work with me on it. But it was just something that never would materialize because y'all was training me to be able to get what we have now. And so, yeah, that was a disappointment until I've grown to the point where I have this state of mind now to realize that whatever happens to me is for my benefit. That building was for my benefit. When I talked to this guy that year, that was for my benefit. When I went into building projects and these people turned around and sold a building out from under, that was for my benefit. So, but in the meanwhile, it was disappointing. It was disappointing to lose a building that I was living in, you know, already homeless and then having to sleep in the classroom. It was disappointing to lose that building, but at the same time, that was purpose to get me to here. I had to lose that building, although we were living in it, I had to lose that building to get the one that we have now. And so, yeah, that was disappointing to lose that building because I felt like these people were, they cheated us and they stole a lot of money from us and they did us wrong. They call themselves, you know, people of God, and yet they did us that way. Yeah, that was disappointing. So, yeah, you're right. But now that I look back on it, all of it was necessary to make me the person that I am today. All of it was necessary.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And I use this for an example, and then if nobody has any other question, I'll close. I use this, the church building that we got. When we first went on Military Parkway, I thought that was the purpose for Yah. Now, I'm saying it that way because I look at purpose differently now. But I thought that was Yah's purpose for our ministry to go in that building and to carry out the vision that he had given us there. I felt that was the purpose. We went there, the doors opened, everything went smoothly for us to get it. It was part of Yah's plan, but again, it was to teach me certain things and to teach me how to see people that I looked at as men of God, you know, a pastor that I looked at as a man of God, you know, turn around and, you know, did us the way that they did. All those things was training. That was Yah's plan. You can call it purpose, but that was Yah. You can call it purpose to get me to the ultimate purpose, but I like to say plan. That was his plan to get me to this stage. But yet, at my level of thinking back then, I thought that was his purpose for me. That's his purpose for me, and this is where we're going to carry out the vision that he has for the ministry. Well, that wasn't what he had as the purpose. That was just a process or a plan that was necessary to again get me to where I am now. You know?
And consequently. Like in my case, it's things that I'm thinking that's it, and then when somebody else comes along and swoops up, it's like, man, I thought that was it.
Right.
But I've learned over the course of time, because things like that used to throw me for a loop, and it would take me a while to get over it. But now, it's like you said, I just say, well, Lord, I know now that that's not what you had for me, so I just I can move on quickly, more quickly than I could in the past. So over the course of time, it's caused me to make that kind of transition so that I trust and know him more, to know when this doesn't turn out, that's not what he has for me. But the experience and the lessons you learn coming up to that, as you were saying, it builds you up to whatever it is that he ultimately has.
True. You know, because one of the things that he did with me is he allowed us to go in that building on military to build my confidence. Because there are certain doors that he opens to keep us trusting in him. You know, and so he opened that door for me to continue to trust in him. He's like, okay, now I'm gonna close that door. And when I close it, you have enough confidence in me to realize that, okay, I open this door, I can open up another one. And so sometimes he'll allow things to happen just to keep our confidence there. Because if we saw no results from us trusting him, you know, that would be devastating. So sometimes he'll say, well, okay, that's not exactly what I have for you, but I'm going to let you go this route. In order to keep you encouraged to keep moving forward to the plan that I have for you, you know, the real purpose that I have for you. Okay?
That's good.
Yeah, and so you know, you thank him, you know, just, you know, look at it from a positive perspective and thank him for the experience, because
mm-hmm.
it kept you trusting in him to say, okay, you know, I was trusting in him for that to take place and that door closed. He just allowed me to see that door and then close it because he'd get me to the right door.
Yes.
And so everything is for our benefit. So that's how I look at things.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Any other questions coming? Okay, so as I get ready to close, remember this in a nutshell. When you look at the themes that's going on in the media, understand that we have the Most High on our side. And it doesn't matter what they report. Their report has to line up with the Most High. If it doesn't line up with the Most High, it's just part of a plan that leads to purpose. They planned it, and all that's going on with them is they're being set up to bring the past, the will of Yah. You know, so don't look at what's going on in this world, whether you're dealing with personal circumstances, you know, professional circumstances, whatever it may be. Don't look at these circumstances as you know, I'm discouraged and this is how it's going to be. I always know that, you know, understand that, you know, if Yah has spoken a specific thing to you, it's going to happen exactly the way that he said it's going to happen. We just have to be patient and allow him to bring it to pass, and we walk in the confidence of it. We may get a little discouraged and frustrated as every now and then, but all that is, I even embrace that. Every time I get frustrated about something, it's just a gauge to let me know that I've stopped trusting Yah in that area. You know, so when I get a little bit discouraged, and, you know, sometimes I start talking crazy, be like, man, forget this, I don't care no more, whatever. It's just Yah saying, see, boy, you're losing your trust. That's my gauge. And when I feel that gauge, I mean to say, okay, let me get back focused. You know, I had a praise moment, so let me get back focused. And so know that whatever Yah said to you in a nutshell, it's already been decreed. Can't nobody replace you. Can't nobody take your place. You are the one who called to do it. You are the one who's chosen to be that person. And Yah is going to bring it to pass exactly the way that he said he's going to do it, because he has declared the end from the beginning. He ordained you to do it before you were born. Walk in it. Have confidence that it's going to happen exactly the way he said. All right? I'm finished. Father Yah, we bless you on tonight for this lesson. We just encourage from the perspective of knowing that you've given us the wisdom to know that you have total control of everything, and we are to line up with you and just continue to put our trust in you. And no matter what happens, we're to stay focused on your purpose for us. We know that what you say, your counsel is going to stand, and we put our trust in that, and we thank you for it, and that your pleasure is going to be fulfilled in our lives, in every facet of it. We glorify you in the name of Mashiach. We do pray. Amen.